Amen. Come on, God's been good to us. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. So good to be in the house of the Lord on a Tuesday. If you have not noticed already, or maybe they've said it and I missed it, but something's kind of out of place tonight. We're up here by ourselves. I say we dismiss now and go down for ice cream. What y'all think? I'm teasing. If Brother Crosswhite, if you're listening, that was a joke. Amen. We are so glad to be here and so thankful they are getting the opportunity to step away. 35 years celebrating, and I am such just an honored man today to be able to fill this pulpit in his absence, and I appreciate you good, faithful saints of God that show up. Now that you know he's not going to be here, we'll see who's the real deal Thursday night, won't we? I'm teasing. We don't have pastor's religion around here, amen? Amen, amen. And I'm grateful for what God did on Sunday. Anybody still have the victory in your life tonight? Amen. Anybody put that devil where he belongs Monday? Did you put him where he belongs on Tuesday? Amen. I know it's Tuesday. It's out of the ordinary. And usually we're used to coming and having prayer meeting. And so to come and change up the ritual of what we do, it's a little different. But I really believe that God has orchestrated this service. He knew exactly who was going to be here. And we have a decision to make. We could kick back and just relax and say, well, it's Tuesday, let's put it in low gear and just have a good little sermon and go home. Or we could press together and let the Holy Ghost have its way and see what God will do in our lives. I'm not interested in leaving the same way. I said I'm not interested in walking out the door the way I came in the door. I want the Holy Ghost to move. I want God to change. I want there to be transformation. And I know you're tired. I know it's a work week, school, so much going on. But I really do feel like the Lord wants to talk to us. And in order for God to do what needs to be done tonight, there are some things that God wants to do and things that need to be done. But you are going to have to respond to the word like you actually believe it. We can't go through the motions on a Tuesday night. We can't sit here and say, pastor's gone, let's just give a little amen and hallelujah and just no. There's something that happens when belief and behavior meet. I'm going to say it again. There's something that happens when belief and behavior meet. And I just wonder today if what you believe can be backed up by some behavior that just says, I'm not just voicing it, I'm acting on what I believe. God will start working on your behalf when you put behavior to the belief. Amen. And so, if you don't mind, would you stand with me right now? I want us to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll let you be seated. But I want us to pray, God, talk to us tonight. We need the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost to move in a mighty way. Hey, this could be our last service. And if it is, I want to go out strong. Amen. Would you pray right now, God, help me open the hearts, open the ears of every one of us here today, God. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let your word find good ground in all of us tonight, starting with me all the way to the back, God. You know every need that is present. I'm asking you, God, to confirm your word. Watch over it tonight, I pray. God, move in this house. Walk these aisles. God, let your presence be made known, God. And to you be all the glory. Increase our faith tonight, God. Watch over this service, I pray, your word. And we'll give you thanks and praise and honor. And let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading from the book of Mark, chapter 6. You can be seated. I know we're going against protocol, but I got a long scripture to read, and I don't want y'all to have to stand too long. Mark chapter 6 is where we're reading, and I'm just going to go through this, and we'll see what the Lord will talk to us about. Mark, the sixth chapter. Normally we stand in reverence to the Word of God, but I want to be very conscientious of this is a little bit of a lengthy passage. And so let's look at this together. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing. Many knew him, that was Jesus, and they ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. That's the kind of church I want God to see. I want him to look down and see much people, much people. And God, Jesus, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. God help us that we never let people come in, the multitude to come in the presence of Jesus and have an attitude that says, send them away. It's one thing to be a soul winner. It's another thing to be a soul keeper. Amen. It's one thing to invite them to your church. It's another thing to figure out how to keep them coming to your church. You don't ever keep them with a send them away attitude. Now, this ain't what I'm preaching, but this sure fits real well right here for a moment. It's more than just saying, come to Apostolic Lighthouse. It's learning to say, why don't you go out to eat with me after church on Thursday night? It's building relationship. There's never a send them away. It's more than just winning. It's about keeping. Amen. And we could just park right there, but let's move on. Send them away that they may go to the country round about in the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. They say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they came back to him and said, 5 and 2 fishes. Y'all heard this story before? And Jesus commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And when they begin to sit down, they sit down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. That's how God works, by the way. God gives it to men of God, and men of God disperse it to the people. Amen. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat, everybody, and they were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, those of you that are standing, you really may be seated. I'm done reading the word of the Lord. Thank you for standing. 5,000 men. That's just the men. Some theologians, some commentaries, some say that if you just added a wife to each of the men and maybe a child, that number begins to grow, and you can do the math that if every man of that 5,000 had a wife, that's 10,000. If they each had an average of 2 children, well, you do the math. It begins to be quite the multitude. But needless to say, it doesn't have to grow for it to be a miracle. 5,000 people fed with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. What an example, what a opportunity of the miraculous we have witnessed. And I want to take from all of this that we have read, I wanted to read it because I believe it lays such a foundation here today. I want to take our subject for the next few moments. I will not be lengthy. I'll do my best to get out of the way and let God work. But verse 39 is where we'll take our subject. There's a little phrase there. And I want to preach to you upon the green grass. Can you say that with me? Upon the green grass. Praise God. How many of you know that God is a provider? Amen. Amen. God is a provider. Everything that you need, God will provide. And more than the health in your body, more than the food on your table, more than the money in your pocket, more than anything else in this world, you need the greatest thing God has ever provided. Amen. And that greatest thing is called salvation. I know a lot of men with a lot of wealth, fancy cars, big homes, not a care in the world, but they're missing out on the greatest provision of God. If you're here today on a Tuesday night and you are without true Bible salvation, I do not want to go any further without at least letting you know you're not waiting for God to provide that, because He's already made that available to all of humanity. When Jesus died on Calvary, He made a way for your soul to be saved. The good news here today is that you do not have to be lost. It doesn't matter who you are. I know I said this Sunday, but I'm going to hit it again, because since Sunday, the devil's kept on lying. And so we got to keep on preaching the truth. It doesn't matter what the devil's told you. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. The reality is you can be saved. If you're sitting in an apostolic church on a Tuesday night, that means there's hope for your soul today. It doesn't matter what's going on. God's already made a way, even when there seemed to be no way, to save the soul of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. It makes no difference today. God is a provider of salvation. Even as far back as Genesis. Now, I know it's Tuesday and we don't want to get too carried away, but if I do, y'all just get carried away with me, all right? Even as far back as Genesis, when humanity first fell, God did not beat them up. God didn't walk in there with a big stick and bop them over the head. He didn't just zap them dead with a bolt of lightning. The first thing God did was first make provision. He made a covering. There was bloodshed. And the reason for that is God was establishing in the very beginning, anything and everything you need, regardless of your failure, I will provide for you. I'm glad today that God does not provide based on how good or bad you are. Come on, humanity messed up real bad in the beginning. God had every right to stop it right there. He could have sent the flood right then and there. He could have started all over at the snap of His fingers. But God said, your failures, they do not constitute whether or not I'm going to provide for you. Rather, my love is going to dictate my provision. Can I tell you today, the love of Jesus always dictates the provision He has. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night. I'm telling you today, God loves you so much that He looks beyond your faults, and He looks beyond your stubbed toe, and He looks beyond all of your mistakes, and He looks past everything you've done wrong in your life, and says, I love you enough that even the saving of your soul, I'm going to make provision. Praise God. Woo. And so there's bloodshed and there's covering because God took care of it. And the reason He had to take care of it is because He made for sure, you know, I know, nobody else can save you. Only God can save you. You can't save yourself. I don't care how many Hail Marys you do. I don't care how many beads you count. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate around here. The only way you can save yourself from this untoward generation is say, God, I choose to repent. Can I tell you today that salvation is a one-step plan? You only got one step in the whole process. Some of y'all looking at me going, oh dear God, pastor's gone and he's going to cross up theology. I want you to think about this. You have one step. You just got to repent. The preacher's going to take care of step number two and baptize you. God's going to take care of step number three and fill you with the Spirit. So really, you don't need a 12-step program. You got a one-step program available. And it starts with your first step to an altar saying, God, I'm tired of the world. I'm sick of this life. I'm tired of the weight of sin. I repent of my sin. And let me tell you something. God can live and abide in a heart that's filled with repentance. When you make up your mind, I'm done with the world and I want Jesus, it'll be the greatest decision you ever made in your life. This Holy Ghost experience, it's better than every drink from a bottle. This Holy Ghost experience, better than every needle injected in your arm. This Holy Ghost experience, better than every one night stand in the world. It's the greatest thing you can ever have. Hallelujah. I wish I had a Holy Ghost filled person that said, oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Man-made salvation is not enough. Adam and Eve, they messed up, made a mistake. The first thing they did is try to provide covering for themselves. God comes on the scene and said, your covering is not good enough. There's not anything you can do that's good enough to save you. And so God brings bloodshed and he provides covering, and that's symbolic of what was to come upon the cross of Calvary. But he was proclaiming, even in the very beginning, God was making it known, beside me, there is no savior. No savior. Listen, I don't want to be rude and crude, but Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you today. The only one that can really save you is not somewhere in the church wearing a long priestly robe. That's not who's going to do it. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. That's the only way you're going to be saved. Woo, hallelujah. If there's anything we ought to rejoice about, it's the fact God's a provider. Everything that we need, God provides. I wonder if anybody's in the building that can raise your hand and say, God provided for me once or twice. Oh, yeah. There's more of us here today that can really, if we just took the microphone and passed it around, we could really spend some time talking about the provision of God. If God's ever done anything for anybody, it's the people sitting in this room. The reason we're here today is because God made a way. God brought provision. God did it. I said, God did it. And I'm going to tell you something. God's still a provider. Amen. I think one of my favorite stories when you read the Word of God and you take into consideration the provision of God, it's got to be the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And when you start thinking about God and all of the provision for them, it can really rattle your cage. It'll blow your mind when you start thinking about all that God had to do to provide for the exodus of his people out of Egypt. And so I took some time to research this, and this is just what I discovered. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Either way, it's thought provoking. But this is what somebody a lot smarter than me found, and I just got it from their research. But this is what you have to imagine when this scenario in the Word of God comes to life. This is how you have to look at this. You have to know that Moses and the people were in the desert, and Moses no doubt had to question, what in the world am I going to do with 2 or 3 million people? They had to be fed, and feeding 3 million people requires a lot of food. Now, we had quite a shindig. Do y'all say shindig around here? Shindig Sunday night. Pancakes, waffles, biscuits. Praise God. It was a buffet of all kinds of good stuff. And but you imagine that was just, 50, 60, 70, 100 of us. Imagine what it was like cramming 3 million people up around the dinner table. According to the quartermaster general in the army. So it didn't come from me. It was a quartermaster general in the army. It is reported that Moses would have had to have had 1,500 tons of food every day. Y'all are hard to impress. In order to bring that much food, it requires 2 freight trains, each at least a mile long, every single day to feed 3 million people. And then you have to consider, these folks are in the desert. I'm going somewhere today. Just please bear with me. God's going to do a work tonight. They are in the desert. And if you're in the desert and you got food, you got to figure out a way to have firewood to cook your food. You don't want to eat nothing raw. And if you had firewood for all of these people, it would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight chains, each a mile long, for just one day. And you have to think they were 40 years in transit. Every day, the provisions of God. And you can't make it very far, especially in this East Texas humidity. But even more so in a desert without water. And if they only had enough water to drink and perhaps wash a few dishes, it would require 11 million gallons of water every day. And a freight train with tank cars, 1,800 miles long, every single day to make sure all these people had enough water. Every time that they broke camp at the end of the day, when you have that many people, it was a campground that would be broken. It required 2/3 the size of Rhode Island. That was about 750 square miles long. That every time they stopped, there had to be enough room for them to put up their dwelling places. And then we get to the fun part, as if that wasn't good enough already. They come to the edge of a mighty Red Sea. And this is where most are kind of misunderstanding that, Moses just stood there and held up the rod and the water parted and they just pranced on over and everything was peachy. But you got to consider, we're talking about 3 million people crossing over. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would have been 800 miles long. If you put one person here, just 2 by 2 all the way back, 800 miles long. It would have required 35 days and nights for them to cross all the way over. Now, we know that's not what happened. They made it over in one night. And so that means that when Moses stretched that rod, there had to be enough space in the Red Sea, 3 miles wide, so that they could walk 5,000 across at one time, shoulder to shoulder, 5,000 people, just so they could cross over that in one night. The Bible lets us know their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never became old for 40 straight years. I have bought shoes in the last 3 years of evangelizing more than I care to admit, because I've worn them out over and over again. And I'm preaching on carpet and nice air conditioning, and yet these folks for 40 years walked on sand in the heat of a desert and said, our shoes never wore out. Manna from heaven, water from the rock, cloud by day, fire by night, God provided. Now you consider all of this, and you have to know that Moses did not sit down and look at Aaron and say, let's calculate the cost here. How is this going to work out? No, all Moses had time for was to get those people out of Egypt land. All he could do was believe in God, and then God took care of the rest. Now, my question for you today, in an effort and hopefully to increase the faith of this wonderful congregation, is to ask you the question, if God could do all of that and more for Moses and the Israelite people, do you really think that whatever's going on in your life and whatever it is you walk through the back doors carrying on your shoulders and in your spirit, is it too hard for the Lord? My answer to that question today is nothing is too hard for God. I'm starting to feel my help come on a Tuesday night. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right out the get-go today, the only thing that will stop God dead in his tracks is doubt and unbelief. The devil can't stop God. I said the devil can't stop God. Hell can't stop God. There's not a demon big enough to stop God. According to the Bible, the only thing that could limit the Holy One of Israel was you and I. Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. He said, I would have done many mighty works, but I didn't do it because they had unbelief. The only thing that'll stop God is your doubt. I come to preach doubt out the back door this evening. I came to try to preach faith into somebody's spirit and remind you, God, he is a provider. God has never failed and God never will. There's plenty of Bible for this today and time does not permit. But you go study for it in your own time. There were multiple scenarios. People with needs, dilemmas, and life-altering crises that were unfolding. And multiple hopeless situations and seemingly no way out. And yet there was always a God that would show up and provide exactly what was needed. Now I'm looking at faces right now. It has it registered with some of y'all, but I'm praying it will for we're over with. Before we go any further, all you need to know at this point is God is a provider. All you got to understand this evening is that my God will provide for you. It doesn't matter what your need is. It doesn't matter how big it is. The God that I serve, he is a provider. Praise God. More than once, I've got to hurry today. The Old Testament makes it clear as to who God was and what role he was presenting himself. And I don't have time to name all of them. I wish I did, but at least let me make a few mentions of one or two of my favorites. Exodus chapter 15. It makes him known as one that is called Jehovah Rapha. And that is simply the Lord that healeth thee. This is nothing new to most of us here today, but we have forgotten, because if we remember that he's Jehovah Rapha then, we should know he's Jehovah Rapha now. God is still a healer. By the stripes on his back, we are healed. That means every disease. That means every sickness. That means every affliction. That means every infirmity. God is Jehovah Rapha. He's able to heal all of thy diseases. I don't care what the doctor says. God is still a healer. I don't care what the report looks like. God is still a healer. I don't care what the blood count is. God is still a healer. I don't care the time frame they gave you. God is still a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's bigger than your sickness. He's greater than your pain. He's bigger than everything you came in here with. God is a healer. Ooh, I feel like punching the devil right in the mouth tonight. I'm telling you what, it's time to stop walking around thinking God is not going to heal you. You need to get back to the book and remember what it says. We've got the blood of Jesus. And when you plead the blood and you say the name, ooh, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 17 very quickly says that he was Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And you just take the time for yourself. It's victory. It's dominion. His banner says you're an overcomer. You got Jehovah Nissi. You're going to be all right. And then you get to Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And I'm going to just stop right there and tell you, I can put my head on the pillow at night in perfect peace. I don't worry about what tomorrow holds. I don't worry how it's all going to work out. I don't care who's doing what in the White House. I don't care how bad it gets on the other side of the world. I understand who he is. He is Jehovah Shalom. In him, I have perfect peace. My mind is stayed on the Lord. I'm not looking at all the negative and all the wrong. All I know is who Jesus is. I don't have to understand the whys. I don't have to know the hows or when it's all going to happen. I just have to know, even when I don't understand, his peace passes all of my understanding. I can make it one more day. I have the peace of God. I'm going to tell you something. The world couldn't give me what God gave me. This peace that I have, it's not of this world. It's of the Lord. That's why I don't trade this peace for nothing. The world gave me turmoil. The world gave me restlessness. The world gave me chaos. The world gave me everything but peace. But when Jesus got a hold of me, I have a peace that's unlike anything else in this world. Everything is going to be all right because I know he is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel tells us the Lord is present. We could just camp right here. I don't have time. But you go find the story. Every time Jesus showed up, it worked out. As long as God is present in your situation, it doesn't matter what the storm is. Doesn't matter how hard the rain falls, how quick the floods rise. Doesn't matter how strong the wind blows. If God is on the scene, if Jehovah Shammah, if the Lord is present, I'm here to remind you everything is going to be all right. It don't matter what happens anywhere else. If the Lord is present, I'm going to tell you, that's why we got to have the presence of God every time we come to church. Because as long as Jesus shows up, the cancer can be healed, and the drug addict can be set free, and the alcoholic can sober up, and the marriage can be put back together, and the brokenness can be restored. There's just something about when Jesus walks on the scene, demons gotta go. Are you hearing me today? He is the Lord. He's present even in this house. Whatever your need is, I'm here to tell you the Lord is present. And then you get to my personal favorite, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord. Ooh, he will provide. God is a provider. I don't know how he always does it. I gave up trying to figure God out a long time ago. I don't know how. I just know that he will. Because God doesn't change, and God is a faithful God. My grandmother was a teenager. She just turned, I believe, 78, 79 years old. Many, many years ago, her and her mother were left all alone. Her father left, abandoned them without job, money, security of any kind. And all my great-grandmother and my grandmother knew was church. All they knew was praying. And so my great-grandmother came to her. She was just a teenager. She said, Judy, I think we're going to have to do something. We have no groceries. We have no money in the bank. We need God to do something. So she said, let's go down to the church house tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. God's not even up at 6 o'clock in the morning, just so y'all know. But needless to say, they went down to the church house that morning, 6 a.m., had them a good old-fashioned red-hot prayer meeting. None of this little mamby-pamby whispering and just lay me down. They had a prayer meeting. They got done down at the church house and went back home. And when they pulled up, there on the front porch, you guessed, was sacks filled of groceries. And the amazing thing was, is that it was only enough groceries for that day. So my granny looked at my grandma and said, "Girl, we're going to go back down to the church house in the morning at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a prayer meeting." They went to the church house, had them a red hot prayer meeting. Drove back up in the driveway, and they're on the front porch. Sacks filled with groceries. Just enough for one more day. They went to the church house day after day after day. And every time they come home, there was enough groceries for one more day. You have come too late to tell me that the God who did it for Moses, he can't do it for today. I have lived long enough now. It's no longer grandma's story, but I've had my own experience when I didn't know how else it was going to work out, and my back was against the wall, and I said, "God, you got to help me." I'm going to tell you today, he provided more than I could ever remember, because God is a provider. Hallelujah. It's 2024, and you and I as the church of the living God, the apostolic church, the God that we serve today is the same God Moses served. It's the same God grandma served. And if God was performing miracles then God can still do the miraculous today, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. With men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God is able. God is able. The devil is a liar. God is able. I feel faith starting to rise in the building a little bit. Some of you old timers, I love the gray-haired saints of the church. I mean that with all respect. You're the ones that can really testify. You've seen it. More than we youngins have seen it. You know what I'm talking about to be true. And I'm here to remind even you precious elders that God did it for you back then. He can do it today. Amen. It is with the understanding that God provides, and I'm hurrying. It is with the understanding that God provides that we'll look at this text now a little differently. I'm not going to read all 14, 15 verses again. But you have to look at this and pull from it. Try to get a picture of what's really going on. Jesus comes to the disciples and says, "Come and part into this desert place." He summons them. "Come with me, let's go to a desert place." And the Bible says they departed into a desert place. Disciples are with him now. And then you get to the end and they look around and the day is spent. The sun is going down and they come to the realization, we are in a desert place. I wonder sometimes how smart the disciples actually were. Because I would know very quickly if I was walking on the hot sand of a desert. The heat beaming down, sweat pouring off of me, I would not have a doubt of where I was. But when you read this, he says, "Come to the desert place." They follow into a desert place. The sun starts going down. They look around and go, "Hey, we're in a desert place." Sometimes I just want to go back in a time machine and say, "Duh." Y'all forgive me. Pray for me. Where does that lead us today? What does that mean with any of us that are facing what we're facing today? Some of you are experiencing your desert in this service tonight. Oh, I feel this in my spirit right now. And you feel the heat of the sun beating down on your brow. You feel the life slowly draining out of you. And you hunger and you thirst, wondering where the provision of God is. The desert has a way of working on all of us. You have questions that you want to ask today. How will I make it? I barely made it yesterday. How am I going to make it tomorrow? What will happen even if I do make it through today? Will I make it even through tomorrow? Are you with me so far? I want to submit to you today, those of you genuine question, wondering today, does God know? I submit to you now that Mark 6 is about the miraculous of the two fish, five loaves, no doubt. What a miracle. Two fish, five loaves, fed 5,000 plus people, and then they still had 12 baskets left over. One of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever did, no doubt. But I want you to see this today for yourself, that one of the greatest moments of the miraculous power of Jesus at work is often overlooked in this story right here. Some of y'all have caught it. Some of you are wondering, what is he talking about? Jesus led them, the disciples, 5,000 people, to a place in the desert and then commanded them to sit down upon the green grass. I don't know if you've ever been there or if you've ever seen a picture of it, but the Sahara Desert, I have never seen grass anywhere in the middle of it. I'm not connecting the dots, preacher. I'm not catching what you're trying to say. Let me try to help you. God will sometimes lead you to a desert place so that he can set you up for the miraculous. We're looking for the fish and the loaves, and God's saying, I got something even better for you, and you don't even know what's going on. Sometimes you ain't going to see the miracle like you want to see it until you let him lead you into a desert place. Oh my God. We think, oh great, here we are, lost in the desert with no hope in sight. God, what have you gotten me into? But in that desert, you've got to understand that he brought you there, and in that desert, he will provide what you need. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you got your questions of why. Why, God? Why did you bring me here? Why am I in the middle of a desert? There's no life in the desert. There's no hope in the desert. There's no assurance in the desert. But God says otherwise on a Tuesday night, as he did on the day with 5,000 people. He's come to do it again and remind you, you need to stop looking at the desert and realize where you are. There's more than just sand in your desert. There's more than just desolation in your desert. But baby, there's green grass. There is a place of provision in the middle of a desert, because God is a provider. Woo. Can you imagine what they must have felt like? Walking on that sand. They all wore sandals then. They didn't have boots and all that other stuff. They had sand between their toes. I've had that before. I hate it. Don't like it. I'm a city slicker, but I got enough country in me to know sand does not belong between your toes. And they're looking around saying, wait a minute. We're not on sand anymore. When you've done all you can, you got to stop. And you got to obey the command of the word of God. And you just got to sit there and sit still and take a seat on the green grass in the middle of your desert and let the great physician heal and work, and let the miracle worker break the bread and bless it and disperse it and provide. Don't you charge God foolishly. You hear me right now. Don't you charge God foolishly and just sit down in the place of your provision in the middle of the desert and say, God, I just don't think you know what you're doing, and how dare you bring me all the way out in the middle of here in life. And I'm going to tell you something, the place of provision that you're looking for and desiring is when you just sit down in obedience to the word of God upon the green grass in the desert of your life. I'm here to just remind you, it's simple today, but Jehovah Jireh is still alive. And he's still working in 2024. And God is still a God of provision. Can I have a few more minutes? I'm hurrying. Imagine enough green grass. Enough. Now, we're just looking at 5,000. Forget the added numbers. Just 5,000. Enough green grass to seat 5,000 men right smack dab in the desert. Do you think that's coincidence? Do you really think it was just chance that Jesus was leading all these people and came over a big old sand dune and go, oh, would you look at that? Aren't we lucky today? God doesn't work with chance and luck. Y'all wish somebody would really get this right now. Somewhere, you can't hear it because all you hear is, let there be. In the very beginning. But somewhere in the beginning, God looked to the scope of time and he saw himself and lived himself in the flesh and said, I'm going to lead some people through the sandy desert of that place. And I better go ahead and plant some seed now. I better go ahead and speak it into existence now. And somewhere along the way, I don't know, you don't know, all we know is that somewhere in the desert, God spoke it and said, let there be green grass. Can I just tell you today, God's not going to lead you this far and leave you hanging. It's not chance and coincidence. You are where you are. I'm here to tell you, he's not going to lead you into a desert place without making provision along the way. If there's anything we ought to be able to testify about, it's simply I walked in the desert, but when I got to the desert, I found that the Lord took care of all my needs. I discovered for myself that he provided everything for my life. Jesus sees the multitudes. He's moved with compassion. He says, the Bible says he saw them as a sheep with no shepherd. And his thoughts were, I need to show them the miraculous. And so he leads them in the desert, commands them to sit down upon the green grass. Maybe you have not made sense of anything I've said. For that, forgive me. It's my fault, not God's. But I believe if there's anything that we can learn, it's perhaps having another shepherd give us a perspective today, one you're familiar with. Because there's another shepherd that can relate to this green grass in the desert business. One shepherd made it clear, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You need to make it personal before you leave today. He's not just mama's shepherd. He's not just daddy's or pastor's shepherd. Ooh, but I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for any. When all else fails, I have a shepherd. When all hell is breaking loose, I have a shepherd. When the wolf of this life comes my way, I have a shepherd. I shall not want. I've got peace of mind, joy in my heart, salvation for my soul, a roof over my head, breath in my body, food on my table, clothes on my back. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want for anything. There's nothing that I need that he will not provide. But then that same writer picks up the pen and goes, he maketh me to lie down. Green pastures. I don't care what color it is. Well, you better, because I've seen some pastures that ain't green. And you walk through them and they stick you in the leg and they're dry and bristly and it ain't comfortable. But I'm going to tell you something. You walk through a green pasture, you can kick your shoes off, wiggle your toes a little bit. It feels all right. There ain't nothing wrong with all that. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green path, leadest me beside the still. In other words, God takes me to places where there's provision. My desert's not my dying place. It's my place of provision. My desert's not my final destination. It's just part of my destiny. The desert's not my journey to the end. The desert is my journey to the miraculous. I look around and I see there's a desert, but I also know there's green grass. There's a place of hopelessness, but there's also a place of provision. And the reason I can shout and dance and be happy about all of what's going on is I know that I know God is a provider. Let's have the music come. Give you some hope. Give you one more verse. Try to drive this home. There's no way I can do it justice. God knows exactly who needs this today. One fella, way smarter than me, He said, I tell you what, we just going to say it like this, but my God shall supply some of my needs. Oh, y'all read the Bible too. That's good. He said, my God shall supply all. If you don't know what the definition of all means, it means all. That means everything. There's no exemption from all. The same God that said, I'm going to provide all, is the same God that says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's everything, everybody. He provides all for the all. I want you to know today and be reminded that whatever your need is, whatever you need him to supply, however long you've been in the desert and you wondering when, God, when's it going to work out? I'm here to tell you, God sees you in your desert. He knoweth the way that you take, whoever you are. Would you stand with me all across the house? I know it's Tuesday night. It's a little different. But I feel so strongly that there's at least one. And if that's all there is, so be it. To God be the glory. But I believe there's some folks here today that you really want to step out in faith. Come around this altar and lift your hands and say, God, I'm not going to just see the desert anymore. You walk by sight, all you're going to see is sand. But if you walk by faith, you'll see the green grass. You got to stop walking around thinking God doesn't know and God don't care. You got to recognize today God's a provider. You got to come and lift your hands and close your eyes and lift your voice and say, God, show me the provision. God can supply the need right now. God can heal your body right now. God can deliver you right now. God can save you right now. It's time to stand on the promises of God's word and say, God, you love us enough. You've already provided. Now, God, by faith, we claim it in the name of Jesus. Would you start to pray? Come on, we come against every doubt. We come against every unbelief right now. God, I'm asking you to increase the faith of your people. Confirm your word right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority of your word in Jesus' name.
Over me, I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well. I have a God.
Come on, you have a God right now. He's greater, he's bigger, he's mightier. He's stronger than whatever it is.
I have a God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God who puts the enemy beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well.
Come on.
I have a God.
Let it be in your heart. I have a God.
I have a God.
I have a God.
I have a God. I have a God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath.
Claim it in Jesus' name. I don't just see the desert, I see the green grass. I don't just see it, I see the provision in Jesus' name.
My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh,
Jehovah Jireh. He's a provider.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for my God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give me angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
My God shall supply all my needs
according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh.
yes. Over me, I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well. I have a God, and my God cannot fail.
I have a God who with his angels watches over me. I have a God.
Don't you put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on, shout unto God. Thank Him for what He's done. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, let it be your testimony tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. The greatest thing you could do now is leave this building tonight. And tomorrow on the job or at school or wherever you're going to be, share your testimony of what the Lord has done. Look how He's provided for me. I'm not talking about being braggadocious and arrogant, but just telling somebody, hey, if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. If He can provide for me, if He can heal me, if He can save me, then God can do it for you. Praise God. Amen. I don't know if anybody's going to dismiss, so if not, I'll just do it. But y'all, thank you for being here in church tonight. Pray for your pastor and his wife that they'll just be able to get away, unwind, have peace of mind, enjoy their time together, and come back safely. And let's go in the fear of the Lord and come back Thursday night, and let's do it all over again. What do you say? Amen. God bless you. Greet one another. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus.